And if you have technical questions about GIS, don't ask me. I'm the community planning and policy development person in this team. The GIS person that was originally going to present was unable to come, and so I'm presenting in place of that. I also have my timer up here, so when my presentation time is up, you will hear the sound of a harp, and I will be able to go to heaven. I have no relationships to disclose. So the partnership here is the university I work for, the University of Nebraska at Omaha, the University of Nebraska Medical Center, Project Extra Mile. We have two representatives back in the back of the room, which is a coalition to prevent underage drinking. And then we also partnered with the tobacco coalitions because we needed to have some data about compliance in terms of selling to minors, which you'll see later on. So Nebraska liquor licenses have increased in number by 31% since 1990, and the population has increased by 14% in the same amount of time. Alcohol policies are associated with underage drinking, youth access to alcohol, drunk driving, and other community problems. So it's possible that the density of alcohol licenses plays a role in these problems as well. So what happened then is that we have community neighborhood organizations that were seeing problems in their neighborhoods, and they came to Project Extra Mile because when they would go to present before either the city council or the Liquor Control Commission, they would always ask, well, you know, other than just anecdotal, you don't like that there's beer cans in your front yard, what else is going on? That's why we started trying to be more scientific about how to present what's going on. So one is outlet density, and we do know, of course, that there are studies that show that it's related to increased crime. It's not all alcohol licensees. Obviously, in tourist areas, things are different, where there might be more establishments that have restaurants and bars and sell alcohol and so on. But in the types of license is an important part, too, that we'll be getting into in the future. So the increase in alcohol licenses within the city has increased the availability of alcohol as well as the density of the licenses. It's estimated that underage drinking costs the citizens of Nebraska the equivalent of $453 million. That was in 2007. And when looking at this number to the size of the youth population, Nebraska ranks 19th highest among the 50 states for the cost per youth of underage drinking. So Nebraska ranks 15th for the past month alcohol use of 12 to 17-year-olds, and is 20th for binge drinking of the 50 states when the question is asked for binge alcohol use in the past month. And in the recent months, there have been a string of alcohol-related deaths involving people under 21 in the metro area, garnering a lot of media attention as well. The State Liquor Control Commission, some of us say, should be called the Liquor Commission because there's not much control in there. And so currently all licensing decisions and policy is dictated by this commission. And the decisions are made after a hearing is conducted to review new applications for liquor licenses. And on several occasions in the past, the commission has ignored input from Omaha residents and the municipality, which makes recommendations on license applications. So we compiled the data to help document some of the concerns of these neighborhood associations. So for example, Omaha City Council voted to deny 13 Walgreens liquor license. Walgreens used to have liquor licenses in Omaha, and then they decided not to, but probably because CVS is coming to Omaha and other competition, they decided that they wanted to have this. And I should put into this when I talk about tobacco compliance, because since they didn't have alcohol, we use their tobacco compliance to say, well, are they acting in good faith and business practices and not selling tobacco to minors, because if they sell tobacco to minors, then what would make us think that they wouldn't sell alcohol to minors? But Walgreens signed on through the attorney generals, many attorney general across the United States, to be a model corporate in that they vowed to say that we will do better than other businesses in terms of this. And so we tried to show the data to see if that was true or not. But the commission ignored the city's recommendation and granted the licenses. So we presented the data, some of the maps that you'll see. The data sets come from tobacco compliance, which is kept by a group called Pride Omaha, and they are also affiliated with the Metropolitan Omaha Tobacco Action Coalition. And then we have the Project Extra Mile that actually keeps track of all the alcohol compliance, meaning do they sell alcohol to minors when they do compliance checks. And just so you know, some people call those stings. They do not, at least in the past, they have not misrepresented their age. They always are their real age and use their real identity. So they're not, you know, 35-year-old coming in with an 18-year-old. And then the last bit is the alcohol licensees, which we get from the Liquor Control Commission. So basing its decision on the documented violence and crime, including a December 2009 homicide inside the establishment, the Omaha City Council voted to deny a liquor license in one place. The commission granted the license despite the city's recommendation of denial and strong citizens' protests by the neighborhood association. So Project Extra Mile has been working on things, including local control, because if the Alcohol Control Commission wants to okay everything, despite what the people who are closest to the issue say, then we see that as a problem. But Project Extra Mile now has community coalitions in 11 Nebraska counties that you see listed there. And then with the University of Nebraska Medical Center and UNO and Project Extra Mile, we put together some of the things with GIS, which you'll see in a moment. So the initial goal was to develop a base map of liquor licenses and then also talk about, we're talking about alcohol density, we're talking about driving time from where you can purchase your alcohol, and we're also talking about have they had a record of selling tobacco in this case, because they weren't selling liquor at the time, that's why they're applying for the liquor license. Have they had a record of selling to minors? So we wanted to create this understanding of what the role of liquor license type, the density, the location play in the social and public health problems associated with excessive alcohol consumption. So this is a preliminary study of liquor license density in Omaha. And so what we did was we took a total of 1,090 liquor licenses located throughout the city of Omaha, and they were included in the study, and they were analyzed for density and proximity using GIS estimated drive time as a surrogate for proximity. The proposed Walgreens licenses, all 24 locations were already in operation. These weren't new businesses. And we mapped them addressing GIS, this version of GIS. So the geographic extent around the proposed Walgreens site was within a 6-minute drive, and that was estimated for all Omaha roads using the road length, the speed limit data found within the Omaha roads data set. So the number of operating licenses within 6 minutes was divided by the total number within the 6 minutes at Walgreens. The relative densities were compared and analyzed by this proximity, which I described, and 5 minutes in simulated driving equates to 6 minutes of real-world driving. The alcohol non-compliance by, actually that should say tobacco non-compliance by city district. And then tobacco sales rates were calculated for each city district. because when we were presenting to the city council, they wanted to say, well, what about where I represent? And so we could tell them where they represent. And so we look at all of that, and again, that should say tobacco. I don't know how that happened, because I thought I switched all of those before I submitted it. And then you people out there can tell me what this means. The intervals, you know, again, we're using the Walgreens, and then see what we got next. So then we looked at the district, the city district councils, and we talked about non-compliance rates, and then we looked at alcohol density at the same time. And so we could tell the people whether it represented their actual city council and where the Walgreens were that were within their district, whether or not they had sold to minors, and what the alcohol density was. And for the first time, at least that I've been going to city council meetings, the city council actually acted on the data, and they took our advice with a couple of exceptions, which were had nothing to do with data, but they had other reasons, because one district there, one city council member wasn't there, and they said we think he would have wanted this. So that's the way they made their decision. So, and then finally, you know, so for example, where it wasn't high density, but they sold a lot of tobacco to minors, we still recommended against them getting the license for that reason, not because of the density reason. And so, again, this is just showing all those numbers and how they were calculated. Remember, all of these will be up online, and so it's hard to go through all of that in the about 2 minutes that I have left. So we did calculate the densities. This was news to a lot of the city council members to notice how many liquor licenses there were within sometimes a one block area that weren't tourist areas, that weren't high restaurant areas. So it was a very revealing to them. So this map then came up about the half mile radius, which is the circle, the licenses that have closed, the active alcohol licenses. So you can see this is a tourist area right here, which is called Old Market. So you see a lot of density there. But there's, by the way, police use this in Lincoln. They use this a lot to determine where they're going to put their police based on some of this and what time the bars close and so on. And then the proposed licenses are the light areas, but they all have a circle there. So if you can't see that, you know that's where all the Walgreens are. This is the one that didn't have high density, but they sold tobacco to minors in high amounts. So the city council basically, I'd say about 85% agreed with what we presented in terms of these data. And but as I already revealed earlier on, then when it went to the Liquor Control Commission, we presented the same data. We had neighborhood organizations there. They approved all licenses. So we're a step closer than we used to be, but we've got a long way to go. In terms of the policy now, we're trying, Diane Reby, who is the executive director of Project Extra Mile, back in the back of the room if you want to talk to her later, is looking into shouldn't the people who live in the neighborhoods, especially when they now have data, when they now have information, will be overlaying crime statistics on this later on. So this is our first attempt at doing this for policy. It worked at the city council level. It has not worked yet at the Liquor Control Commission level. Oh, I just better do the thanks part. That's not the thanks. So Dr. G. Lin was also instrumental in this, and I told you that Metro Omaha Tobacco Action Coalition, as well as Pride Omaha, in providing the, this is also the first time we've ever put together alcohol compliance, tobacco compliance, and the density of the alcohol licensees.
Thank you very much. One or two questions for Dr. Corbin?
Yes.
I was wondering where you got your tobacco compliance data from. Is that something that the coalition already collected?
Yes, a group called Pride Omaha is in charge of that, and they, through the years, we've developed a good relationship on both the alcohol compliance and the tobacco compliance to work with the police and to do these systematically. As a matter of fact, I helped to do it, so it was randomized at first, but now they're actually doing all of them. And so they can't say, well, you're only picking on us, you know, why did you pick us, all of these kind of things. But even when they said that, they sued us and we went to court and showed them that we were randomizing it, they weren't being picked on. So it's very systematic, and I'm happy to say that the non-compliance rates, I mean, there have been far fewer businesses in both alcohol and tobacco that have been selling to minors since this has been happening.